Oil prices have been rising, despite the fact that OPEC countries have boosted production in recent weeks. OPEC leaders are now saying they don't have much more unused capacity, and that further increases in crude oil prices may be on the way. What happens to the price of oil over the next year depends on what happens in the next few weeks, and on what happens inside Iraq if there is a war, NPR's Kathleen Schalk reports.
Iraq's oil reserves are second only to Saudi Arabia's, so any fighting there will certainly set the market on edge, according to Jim Plack, a senior associate at Cambridge Energy Research Associates.
Even if there is really no genuine supply shortage, if there is still an adequate supply of the physical commodity, there will still be a price spike, purely for psychological reasons. I would say an almost immediate spike on the order of $5 a barrel.
After that, everything will hinge on how the war goes. Bob Ebel, who directs the energy program for the Center for Strategic and International Studies, has been assessing various possibilities for the U.S. State Department. One is what he calls the benign scenario.
A quick, decisive victory by the coalition forces. Iraqi oil is off the market for only a couple of months. There's no real resistance by Saddam Hussein. So prices spike just a bit and then start to come down, and maybe averaging $20 a barrel by the year 2004.
Ebel has also looked at the other extreme, a long, bloody, messy war that could spill outside of Iraq and cripple production and exports from the Persian Gulf.
Sabotage inside Kuwait, sabotage inside Saudi Arabia, large volumes of oil taken off the market, prices spike maybe to $80 a barrel. And then start coming down, but slowly over time, maybe averaging $40 a barrel for the year 2004. What does that mean for the world economy? It means a recession.
Ebel and others question how much damage Saddam Hussein could inflict on neighboring countries, but inside Iraq, he could do plenty. And the Pentagon says he may well intend to. During the Gulf War, his retreating soldiers set fire to 700 of Kuwait's oil wells. Freddie Gephardt, vice president of operations at Wild Well Control, was called in to help put those fires out.
Everything in that country was either black or gray. In the smoke, there was unburnt oil. Little droplets would be falling just like raindrops. So everything just had this tar-like substance, be it streetlights, trees, any animals, houses, cars, everything. And, of course, all the fires around, I mean, it truly was like, pretty much like hell.
Gephardt's company is making contingency plans for Iraq. But this time he warns things could be much worse, because Iraq has more than twice as many oil wells. And Kuwait's about the size of the county that surrounds Houston, he says, while Iraq's the size of Texas. Industry analyst Jim Plack sees another important difference.
Kuwait is right on the sea, and the oil fields are, for the most part, within sight of the Persian Gulf. So you can build, you can lay a pipeline down to the Gulf, you can pump out seawater, and you can use it to put out fires. That's not true in Iraq. The oil fields are much further away from any source of water, any large body of water, and just getting water supplies, which are absolutely critical. You can't put out a well without large quantities of water. That's going to be a serious constraint.
Saddam Hussein has said Iraq will not destroy its own oil fields. And even if he gives the order, Plack says, oil workers far from Baghdad might not carry it out.
It's a little more difficult than just throwing an explosive at a wellhead. I would think that these oil field superintendents, who presumably would have responsibility for carrying this out, even though Saddam has thoroughly terrorized his nation, are going to ask themselves, I'm going to be here next week. It's pretty clear that Saddam Hussein isn't going to be here next week. Do I really want to do this?
But blowing up pipelines and refineries is easier. And intelligence sources tell the Defense Department Iraq may be setting charges in advance. Anthony Cordesman, a military analyst for the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says U.S. military planners are trying to come up with countermeasures.
There's some talk that you might be able to inject special forces or special operations groups, which are mixes of CIA and special forces groups, into the immediate area where we believe the control systems might be needed to trigger those. The truth of the matter is, if they are willing to pull the switch, there's absolutely nothing we can do.
The results could be devastating for Iraq and expensive for the U.S. Repairing Kuwait's oil infrastructure cost $20 billion, and the Pentagon estimates fixing Iraq's could cost between $30 and $50 billion. John Kingston is Global Director for Oil for Platts, an energy consulting firm.
When the Kuwaiti wells were torched, the Kuwaitis had significant reserves on their own, significant monetary reserves that they could use to put out the fires and to rebuild the infrastructure. You know, the Iraqis are in debt to everybody. They have no money. The general consensus is that rebuilding the industry in Iraq is going to get paid for by sales of Iraqi crude. They'll just take that money and plow it right back in to getting the industry back on its feet. But obviously, if the wells are all ablaze, you're not going to have any production that you can sell to finance that rebuilding.
Even if there's no deliberate sabotage, the war is likely to halt Iraq's exports temporarily. And the fighting could also make it hard to get the oil flowing again, Kingston says.
Oil reservoirs need to be handled with tender, loving care. It's not like a bottle of juice where, you know, you open the juice and you take some out, you sip some out, and then as long as you put the cover back on when you come back to it in a few days, you know, it's still the same amount of juice. So oil doesn't work that way.
If you don't maintain the right pressure in a well, he says, you can lose it permanently. Oil now pays for Iraq's food and other supplies, and any losses will drive up the cost of the war and reconstruction. But the global economy wouldn't necessarily suffer much. Iraq produces far less than it used to. Last year, it averaged just over 2 million barrels a day, about 3% of the world's supply. The U.S. has its strategic petroleum reserve, 600 million barrels of oil stored in salt caverns in Louisiana and Texas. Europe and Japan have emergency stocks as well. Amy Myers Jaffe, an oil expert at Rice University, says that will cushion the blow.
We'll make a joint release, something between 1 million and 2 million barrels a day for a short period of time, possibly 30 days. And then there would be a reevaluation as to whether or not the oil market needed more supply.
If Iraq's oil industry escapes relatively unscathed, and if foreign investment pours in, Iraq's production could grow. Again, Robert Ebel of the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
In the short term, we will work hard to get it back up to where it was back in the late 1970s, back up to 3.2 to 3.5 million barrels a day. Then we'll try to expand production.
Ebel guesses, if all goes well, Iraq could be churning out more than 4 billion barrels per day by the end of the decade. Kathleen Schalk, NPR News, Washington.